Welcome to this deep dive. You're here with us for a reason, tuning in. You know, sometimes life can feel a bit like you're just navigating a crowded room, maybe feeling a bit overlooked.
Yeah, almost invisible sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. But what if that feeling, what if it's actually pointing towards something else, a different way of seeing things?
Well, that's exactly what we're digging into today. We've been looking at an episode from the Faith Beams GP podcast.
Right.
It's called You've Been Chosen, Walking Boldly in God's Divine Assignment. And the core idea is pretty arresting.
Which is?
That you're not just here. That you've been specifically selected for a purpose.
Selected. So our aim today isn't just to, you know, give a summary. We really want to get under the skin of this idea of being hand-selected, like the source says.
Yeah, what does that actually feel like or mean in practice?
Right, and it seems like a lot of this hinges on one key bit of scripture, doesn't it? John 15.16.
That's the anchor, yes. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain.
I chose you. That flips the script a bit, doesn't it?
Completely. Yeah. It suggests this isn't about your initiative primarily, but about an intentional choice from, well, from God, with a specific outcome expected, lasting fruit, impact.
Okay, so let's really, let's unpack that main idea first, the power of being chosen. Mm-hmm. The source is really direct. It says, you are not here by accident. You are on divine deployment. Wow. That's bold.
It is bold. It's pushing back hard against any idea that your life, your circumstances are just random, accidental.
So it's saying wherever you are right now.
Your family, your job, your neighborhood. It's not just a jumble of events. It's suggesting there's a bigger design, significance to your everyday stuff.
And they bring in Psalm 139 too, don't they, to back this up. That idea of being known, formed, even before birth.
Exactly. That vivid picture of being intentionally crafted, it really underlines the personal nature of this choosing.
Okay, so here's the key thing for me. How does knowing this or believing this help fight off those feelings we all get sometimes? You know, feeling insignificant, small.
That's where it gets powerful, I think. The source argues that if you accept you've been chosen by the king of the universe, as it puts it, then that inherently gives you value, purpose.
Yeah.
It's meant to change your inner script from I'm not worthy or I'm overlooked to something totally different.
Like what?
Like I belong here. I have a reason for being.
Yeah.
It directly combats rejection and unworthiness.
The source even suggests you should actually say it out loud. I've been chosen by God. I have an assignment. I am equipped for it.
It's about actively taking that belief on board, isn't it?
Yeah.
Internalizing it.
Yeah. And then it asks you, the listener, some searching questions like, where in your life have you felt invisible? Or where have you felt insignificant?
Right. And it wants you to connect those feelings, those maybe painful memories, to this idea that God actually sees you, appointed you.
How would that connection change how you see those past hurts?
That's the interesting part. It suggests maybe that those feelings are being overlooked. Maybe they weren't the full story. Maybe they don't define your actual value or potential. It invites a relook, a reevaluation.
Okay. Then the source shifts a bit to this phrase, placement is prophetic. I like that.
It's catchy, isn't it?
Yeah. It implies that where you are right now matters deeply. It's not just some waiting room.
Exactly. Your current situation, the job you're in, the city you live in, even the tricky relationships, the source says these aren't random either.
How does it explain that?
It uses this analogy, quite vivid, of God as the ultimate chess master.
Okay.
Strategically placing you, his child, exactly where your specific gifts, your story, your testimony will have the most impact. Shine the brightest, it says.
So if you're feeling stuck or frustrated where you are.
This perspective suggests there might be a strategic reason you're there, even if it's not obvious.
Yeah.
That your skills are needed right there.
It also mentions Acts 17 about God setting times and boundaries.
Verses 26 and 27. The source interprets that quite directly, saying God basically picked your timeline and your territory.
Wow. That's very specific. So it's saying your when and where are intentional.
That's the idea. Yeah. It offers a potential layer of meaning, even to difficult or maybe mundane circumstances. You're not just randomly dropped somewhere.
So instead of feeling misplaced.
You're planted. That's the word it uses. The source encourages you to declare, I am right where God needs me to be for this season. It pushes back against feeling overlooked.
How do you think embracing that idea might change how someone, you know, engages with their day-to-day life, their job, maybe.
Well, it could shift things significantly, couldn't it? From just enduring it to looking for the purpose within it.
Right. And this naturally leads to the next point in the source about how this understanding changes your whole approach.
Yeah, moving from being reactive to proactive.
It says, stop living on defense and start living on offense. Don't just react to life, but actively advance the kingdom. What's driving that shift?
I think it's the sense of agency it gives you. If you believe you're chosen and placed for a reason, you're not just a victim of circumstance anymore. You have a role to play.
And a big part of that role is about bearing fruit, right? Yeah. Lasting fruit.
Yes, exactly. Not just quick wins, but creating something enduring in your business, your family, your community, whatever your sphere is.
Something that has the fingerprints of heaven on it, as the source puts it, impacting people beyond just the immediate moment.
Mm-hmm. It's about legacy, in a way.
And this conviction, this sense of purpose, is meant to change how you actually do things.
Absolutely. The source lists things like praying differently, maybe with more boldness, speaking with more authority, living with a sense of expectation.
Even shifting atmospheres. That's an interesting one.
It implies your very presence, infused with this belief, can change the environment around you. It paints a picture of someone operating with real confidence in their assignment.
Does that tie into the Romans 8 verse it mentions?
Yes, Romans 8:30.
Yeah.
Predestined, called, justified, glorified. The source sees that as a kind of pathway.
A progression.
Sort of, leading to this affirmation. I'm glorified to bring God glory. I'm fruitful by divine design. It frames the whole journey as purposeful, divinely orchestrated.
Okay, but let's be real. Life isn't always smooth sailing, even if you feel chosen. Does the source address that?
Oh, definitely. It's quite upfront about expecting opposition. It says, the enemy fears the day you wake up to who you really are.
So resistance is almost a sign you're on the right track.
In this view, yes. It suggests that when you start walking in this purpose, you'll likely face pushback. It's a common experience when you aim for something significant, isn't it?
It really is. What kind of pushback does it mention?
It specifically flags things like discouragement, delays, confusion, tactics designed to make you doubt or give up.
Why those tactics, do you think? They seem quite insidious.
Well, they attack your resolve, don't they? Your clarity. If the enemy, as the source frames it, can make you feel hopeless or unsure, you might stop moving forward.
But the message isn't to be afraid of that opposition.
Not at all. It offers strong reassurance. Quoting Isaiah 54.17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
And every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. That's a powerful promise.
It is. It's presented as a guarantee of ultimate victory, despite the battles along the way. The key is holding on to that, especially when things get tough.
And what's the practical advice for dealing with, say, critics or just your own self-doubt creeping in?
The advice is pretty clear. Don't get bogged down. Don't engage too much with the negativity. Keep your eyes on the prize, basically.
Focus on the bearing fruit part.
Exactly. Focus on your purpose, your assignment, the positive impact you're meant to have. Don't let the obstacles derail you from that.
And again, there's an affirmation for this part, too.
Mm-hmm. I overcome every obstacle. My assignment is unstoppable. It's about building that inner resilience, that refusal to be stopped.
How much difference can saying things like that actually make when you're facing real problems?
Well, the source presents it as crucial. It's about shaping your mindset, reinforcing your belief in the face of adversity, cultivating that unwavering conviction.
Okay. So this whole deep dive into the Faith Beams GP podcast, it really hammers home this message of like divine intention.
Absolutely. It's a call to see yourself differently. Not as insignificant or accidental, but as chosen, equipped, and placed for a unique role. It's a major perspective shift.
And the final takeaway message seems to just echo that core idea one last time.
Right. It ends strongly. You've been chosen. You're appointed for this generation. You're anointed for this assignment. You're divinely backed by heaven itself. It's meant to be empowering.
Definitely sounds that way. And the call to action follows logically from that.
Yes. Very directly. It's time to walk boldly, live intentionally, and bear fruit abundantly. It's urging you to take this understanding and we'll do something with it. Live it out.
So if this conversation has resonated with you, if this idea of being chosen intrigues you, the Source Podcast encourages you to check out Faith Beam's GP podcast for more.
And maybe share this perspective with someone else who might need that encouragement too.
Right. So as we wrap up, maybe the final thought to leave you is this.
Go on.
How does really truly believing you're chosen actually change the practical stuff, the everyday decisions you make, the big goals you set for your life?
That's the real question, isn't it? Taking this big idea and seeing how it lands in the reality of your day-to-day,
mm-hmm.
something to really chew on.